This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Over the weekend, Al-Qaeda took credit for the bombing of a Jakarta hotel. Just last week, an Indonesian court delivered the first conviction of a defendant for last week's Bali nightclub bombings, also linked to Al-Qaeda. Along with these developments come reports of Al-Qaeda activities in many countries and emerging in Iraq. Joining us now to discuss this is Paul Wilkinson, chairman of the Center for the Study of Terrorism and Political Violence at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. We had difficulties reaching him earlier in the hour, but Professor Wilkinson, thanks very much for being with us now.
A pleasure.
Let me ask you, the bombing in Jakarta, that was suspected to be the work initially of a local group associated with Al-Qaeda, and now a statement has been released from Al-Qaeda itself.
Well, I don't think this necessarily means that Al-Qaeda was acting directly. They act through Jemaah Islamiyah in Southeast Asia. And I think that relationship needs to be more clearly understood. It is a different method of operation from the one which we're used to in traditional terrorist organizations, where you have a single organization operating basically in one region or in one country. Al-Qaeda is a global movement which operates often with groups which are allied to it or affiliated to it, which it has penetrated and then manipulates to carry out the kind of actions which are accord with Al-Qaeda ideology and objectives. And Jemaah Islamiyah is the group that does that for them in Southeast Asia. And we know those links are very strong. We know that a key individual in this linkage is Ridwan Isamuddin, who was actually a very senior member of Al-Qaeda, who was in Afghanistan, was a member of Al-Qaeda's Shura or Council, and recruited people, sent them to Afghanistan from Indonesia, was responsible for hosting an important meeting in Kuala Lumpur in January 2000, and in June of that year helped to organize a visit by Zawahiri, bin Laden's deputy, and Mohammed Atef, who at that time, remember, was the military commander of Al-Qaeda, to Southeast Asia, where he met Jemaah Islamiyah people. So the link is quite strong. We know that they have many shared ideological objectives, and it's interesting that in statements that have been attributed to bin Laden himself, he has adopted the Bali bombing as an action of Al-Qaeda's jihad. So he has claimed responsibility for that when we know that, in fact, the vehicle for carrying it out was Jemaah Islamiyah, his Southeast Asian network.
The a recent report published earlier this month by the International Institute for the Study of Strategic, the IISS in London, said that there are sort of two headlines here, one of which is that in Western Europe and North America, Al-Qaeda has been largely frustrated. There have been no attacks since 9/11. Yet it also says the bad news is that Al-Qaeda has spread elsewhere and is active in a lot of different places.
Well, I think that that's only partly true. They have had global reach for a long time. If you remember, back in 1998, they surprised everybody by mounting a coordinated bombing attack, suicide bombing, on the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. So this is not a new feature. It is true that, fortunately, we have not seen a repeat of a major attack by Al-Qaeda in the North American region or in Western Europe. But I think it would be very foolish of us to assume that they no longer want to carry out such an attack. I think they are busy trying to put people back into places where they've had a number of people rounded up by the authorities. I'm sure that they're still recruiting in Western countries because it's so useful to have people with Western knowledge and, of course, passports, which mean that they can travel quite easily across borders for example, in Europe, once you have a passport of any European Union country, you can travel freely around the whole European Union. And I think they value the idea of being able to carry out an attack inside a Western country. That is still important to them. So we do need to be on a high state of vigilance in the United States and in other democratic countries in the West, as well as in areas like Southeast Asia and Africa.
We're speaking with Paul Wilkinson, the chairman of the Center for the Study of Terrorism and Political Violence at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And Professor Wilkinson, how much credence do you give, obviously politicians are in the business, in a different business, really, but we have heard statements from President Bush and others that, we've got them on the run, that the organization of Al-Qaeda has been disrupted, and certainly many senior leaders of Al-Qaeda, or at least as identified by intelligence officials, have been rounded up.
Well, it's true that the Al-Qaeda has suffered considerable damage. The removal of the Taliban regime in the fall of 2001 was a major blow to them, and I'm sure they didn't expect that to happen. And, of course, they have had top people captured and some killed, and many of their members are in custody and awaiting trial. So, that is damaging. But we have to remember that this is one of the largest terrorist groupings ever, perhaps the largest we've ever seen in the sub-state terror category. And it is dispersed over a very large number of countries, at least 50, we reckon. And in my research center, we work from open sources only. But that makes it the most dispersed of all terrorist organizations in the history of modern terrorism. And we have to remember also that they have a very strong track record of mastering the tradecraft of terrorism, how to remain hidden from the authorities, keeping their communications secure and so on. And they're training new people all the time, even though they have lost their training camps in Afghanistan. They're using training facilities elsewhere.
Let me ask you about Indonesia in particular. Obviously, the Bali bomb and now the Jakarta bomb at the Marriott Hotel. Is there something about Indonesia in particular or Southeast Asia in general that makes it an attractive opportunity for Al-Qaeda or its associate group, Jamaat Islamiyah?
There is, in fact, a very strong attraction for the leadership of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates. Indonesia is, after all, a country with the largest Muslim population in the world, and we know that there are a number of extremists there. The Jemaah Islamiyah has cells working in Indonesia. Prior to the Bali bombing on October the 12th last year, President Megawati and her colleagues denied the existence of Jemaah Islamiyah in their own borders. Now there is no question that they are aware of this danger. They've introduced much stronger measures after Bali, and now after this latest Jakarta bombing, I'm sure they will increase the pressure against the terrorists, although they have an enormous challenge because it's such a huge country. They have limited resources, the economy's been in trouble, and they have all the problems of ethnic separatist conflict to deal with as well. So I don't think they're going to find it an easy task to unravel these cells of Jemaah Islamiyah that are operating in their country. But I think what is encouraging is that they're showing the determination and courage to do something about it, holding the trial of the Bali bombers, putting the alleged spiritual leader Bashir on trial was a very brave move, and they must have been aware that there were likely to be revenge attacks when they undertook these trials. And I think that the bombing of the Marriott Hotel in Jakarta will turn out to have been a revenge attack for the trial of the Bali bombers.
The statement attributed to Zayman al-Zawahiri, the number two in Al-Qaeda, said it was it was attacked because CIA operatives who were being involved in the interrogation of Al-Qaeda suspects were staying in the hotel.
That's quite likely. And of course, it is a major meeting place for Western businessmen, foreigners, diplomats, just the kind of soft target that Al-Qaeda and its affiliates have attacked in the past. And one hopes that the Indonesian authorities and the authorities in other Southeast Asian countries where Jemaah Islamiyah is active, such as Malaysia, the southern Philippines, and so on, take the lesson from this awful incident in Jakarta and strengthen the protection of the soft targets. I mean, there are things you can do to improve the security of places like the Marriott Hotel, places where it is known that Western businessmen, American tourists, and so on are likely to be visiting or staying. And that kind of physical protection measure would help greatly, in addition, of course, to improved intelligence sharing and cooperation among the Southeast Asian countries, which I think is now something that all the countries in that region are moving to improve.
We're speaking with Professor Paul Wilkinson about terrorism. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. There was also the incident in Baghdad last week, a car bomb attack, not against an American target per se, but against the embassy of Jordan. Much less evidence to go on at this point, but again, suspicions of Al-Qaeda activity, and perhaps its associate in this instance, a group called Al-Ansar.
Yes, I understand that Mr. Bremer, the American administrator in Iraq, has mentioned this the development and his concern about it, and I think his knowledge of terrorism is very relevant here. He's a man who has a considerable experience, as you know, in the State Department in dealing with this problem, and I think his concerns are justified. What has happened, as far as one can gather, is that in the rather anarchic situation that was created when Saddam was toppled, these people, the extreme Islamists, moved in and have taken advantage of the conditions to set up plans to attack the coalition forces. And I think that this is complicating the task of the forces considerably, and it is going to require rather more troops on the ground. I hope that we can arrange that there's a greater internationalization of this job in Iraq, because the United States and the United Kingdom cannot undertake all these very complex tasks for a very prolonged period of time without overstretching the forces that are already deployed there. It's a very difficult task, and if Al-Qaeda are active there, we know that they would be extremely ruthless and experienced killers active against our people. So it's very important that we give this a high priority, just as I believe we should be giving the Afghan situation priority, because Al-Qaeda is creeping back with Taliban, its old allies, into areas of eastern Afghanistan and southern Afghanistan. And it's rather worrying that the United Nations has had to suspend some of its aid activities, its vital aid activities in that area, because of the lack of security protection against these Taliban people who are building up their strength again. So we really do need to give the priority to dealing with the real terrorism threat, which comes, as I've argued now for months, from Al-Qaeda. It is the most dangerous terrorist threat that we face.
We just have a minute left, but what about drying up its sources of finances? And many people will have questions about continued ties to Saudi Arabia.
I think drying up its finances is a crucial need, and we've only got a limited way to doing that, because the Western banking system only contains some of their resources. We have frozen over $120 million worth of their assets, and that's a considerable blow. But they're using the informal process of transferring money within the Middle Eastern banking system, and they're using organized crime to great effect, and of course smuggling things like diamonds across borders in order to get the commodity turned into cash. So we know that they are still able to get adequate resources to plan terrorist attacks, to purchase explosives, to mount the campaigns that they are waging in different parts of the world. And as you know, one of the items that was conveyed to the court in Bali was that the Bali bombing was paid for by Al-Qaeda.
Paul Wilkinson, I'm afraid we're going to have to end it there, but thank you very much. Paul Wilkinson, Chairman of the Center for the Study of Terrorism and Political Violence at St. Andrews. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR.